What is going on, everyone? 41 Channel Side Podcast, Stevie Z here to bring you my opinion on the Tampa Bay Lightning season and a little playoff postmortem combined. Sitting here at this current moment, the Lightning are 9 days out from getting eliminated in round one for the fourth straight time. This time to the Montreal Canadiens in a crushing Game 7 defeat where Tampa Bay allows 9 shots and Montreal gets 2 bounces that end up in the back of the net. Let's see, our Tampa Bay Lightning eliminated once again. And so, why has it taken me so long to get to this? Right, so number one, life kind of got in the way after the season ended, right? Like, I've been kind of busy the last week and a half. That's number one. Number two, there wasn't really much of an urgency to really get this out at the moment because I wanted to just kind of digest the loss. I wanted to do some research on the season and kind of try to encapsulate it in and just give it some of. In my opinion, and I wanted it to be informed and not so hot take-ish, right? I wanted to get through the playoff or the player exit interviews, right? I wanted to hear what they had to say. I wanted to hear what Julian Breezeball had to say. I wanted to see, you know, just everybody kind of digest it, give their opinion, and then just me try to draw some conclusions on what I think. And The other thing is I'm bitter. I won't lie to you. I thought maybe if I would give this some time, like a week, right, that I could maybe change the way that I was feeling about how this all transpired for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And to be truthful, it really hasn't made me feel any better about what happened to them in round one. I wanted to interact with other fans, and I wanted to get their thoughts on it. And look, like, this episode is going to be a little bit of reasoning, right? It's going to be a little bit of ranting. It's going to be a little bit of expletives. It's going to kind of encapsulate all of it because, like I said, I am a little bitter still. I haven't watched any hockey, for that matter. You know, like, it's hard. Right, and it's not to be a big baby about it. It's just it sucks, right? Like you invest so much into your team, listen. Like I'm a full season ticket holder, right? I go to around 30 games a year, and then you know the playoffs, and I'm invested like many of you are, right? And so when you just have that constant investment throughout the year from really September when training camp starts, and then you get through the regular season and you get the journey of the regular season and then you get to the playoffs and it just stops. You're kind of just searching for something. And I'll be honest with you, I really, like, if the Lightning weren't in the playoffs, it would be a little bit easier to digest watching other teams play hockey. But watching how the playoffs have transpired this year and you know, knowing that a team like Montreal, that obviously beat the Lightning in 7 and the most crushing way, they're still playing. And like, for me, I just don't want to take that in, to be honest with you, because it would just frustrate me. And so, you know, here we are, you know, 9 days later for me. You'll probably get this 10 days later from when the Lightning were eliminated last Sunday on, what, May 3rd? And yeah, so we're going to kind of structure it like this. So let's talk about the positives of the season, okay? Because there were some positives to the regular season. I thought that from the standpoint of a regular season, I don't know if it was amazing, but look, the Lightning were 1 of 5 teams with 50 wins, okay? Third in regulation wins with 40. They were third in regulation overtime wins with 46. Okay, this was the fifth time in franchise history that the Lightning get 50 wins. Okay. Fourth in goals for with 290. They were third in the East. Third in goals allowed, 231. They were first in the East. Right. They were second in goal differential with a plus 59. Third in the penalty kill, right? 82.6%. They were fourth in goals for per game at 3.49 goals scored per game. Third in goals allowed per game, 2.79. And look, and then and that's just some face value statistics. Okay. Now we kind of get to some individual stuff, right? There's six players with 50 plus points for the Lightning. Right, Kucherov obviously has 130 points this year. He ties a career high with 44 goals. Jake Guentzel, 88 points. I believe that was a career high for him. And I should know that. I mean, I've had damn near a week and a half to look this up, but I believe it was a career high for him in points. Hagel, 74 points. Radish, 70 points, an obvious career high for him. And he had 22 goals, which is a Tampa Bay Lightning single season record for a defenseman. Anthony Cirelli, 52 points this year. I believe he had 23 goals. And then Braden Point had 50 points to round out the top six players, I guess, with 50 plus points, or the players on the Lightning who had 50 plus points this year. Another bright positive, Pontus Holmberg, career high in goals with 11. He had 22 points this year. And I believe, like, at the beginning of the year, he came in and he thought that he could offer more scoring punch, that his game had that. So to be able to get double-digit goals and an NHL career high of 11 goals for Pontus Holmberg, that's really good. Gage Gonsalves, Dominic James. So we didn't know about Dominic James prior to the season because he was a free agent signing out of college. We knew about Gage Gonsalves. We wanted him to take a step, and he did. Right? He did take a step. Dominic James. Another player kind of in the weeds for the Lightning. Obviously, they've done a great job with their scouting department, and he flashed a lot this season. And when he went down for those 8 to 8 weeks or whatever, like, it was noticeable. Vasi, 39 wins this season. He was first in the league. And then we kind of get to some of the awards, right? Kucherov, a Hart finalist, I believe, for the third year in a row. John Cooper, Jack Adams. Finalist, Anthony Cirelli, finalist for the Selke, and Vasi, finalist for the Vezina. Kind of looking at it from how the Lightning did record-wise against Atlantic Division teams. They were 16-9-1 this year versus the division. And look, and there were some, there was, I think that this can't be understated enough, right? I think, look, the Lightning had the second most man games lost, according to Julien Brisebois. And look how Cooper was able to maneuver that. They get 106 points. Obviously, Cooper has to maneuver, you know, the Olympics, the passing of his father. You have Darren Radish, who has the passing of his father. You have Victor Hedman, who has injury upon injury and has to take a mental health break and step away from the team for a little bit. You have Braden Point, who gets. He just goes on an absolute cold streak, and then he gets hot and he gets hurt again. You have Ryan McDonough, who played 48 games this year. You know, like, you just look at what, like, Victor Hedman played 33 games this year, you know, and what Coop and his staff were able to do to generate, you know, the production that they got from the team. And to get 106 points and probably what was the tightest race that I can recall in recent memory, it was an excellent job. And I don't want to understate that. Okay. And it's really unfortunate because now we kind of have to take a turn here and kind of look at the negatives, but like, I want to preface this by saying this. Okay, so we know that the Lightning had 106 points, right? They were 18-3, or 18-3-3, before, and they were sitting at what, fifth in the Atlantic Division with 39 points prior to their 21-1 stretch. Okay, so really positive. Getting into the negatives, the big thing about it was, despite that 21-1 stretch, it wasn't able to be sustained after the Olympic break. The Lightning went 11-8-2 after the Olympic break. and you kind of saw some holes in their game a little bit. Obviously, they had to play 27 games in 50 days, so the schedule was really condensed. I had a big thing about whether or not they'd be able to kind of flip the switch heading into the playoffs, and we're going to get to that, right? So some of the negatives, right? Point 18 goals this year. He had 50 points. He had his lowest goal total since his rookie year. Victor Hedman, 33 games this year, obviously with injury and just what he had going on mentally. He had 17 points. The power play, 17th in the league. Okay, and I want to address this because I think that it's important to address, to provide a little bit of context here. Look, the power play has regressed significantly since we've had Steven Stamkos. Okay, so 23-24, the Lightning are first in the league. Power play percentage at 28.6%. Last year, 24-25, they regressed slightly in their first year without Stamkos, but they finished fifth, 25.9%. This year, the Lightning just like a complete nosedive on the power play, finishing with, 20.7%, finished 17th in the league. Look, that's not really acceptable for a team that has this talent on the power play. Like, it's their calling card. It's been their calling card for years. And I honestly felt that a lot of times this year, the power play actually did more damage for the Lightning than anything positive. Kind of looking at it, like, here's a... The injuries were piling up, I guess, for some of the more experienced players, right? Like Chernak, who seems injured often. He played 60 games. I said McDonough played 48 games. You know, Hedman played 33 games. You know, you're missing three of your big guys on the back end, missing significant time this year. It's, you know, you're relying on the younger guys to step up, and they did. No doubt. But here's the part, is that a lot of these younger guys that the Tampa Bay Lightning have coming up, like, they're complementary pieces, right? Like, none of them, at least to this point, have demonstrated themselves as, like, elite level players, the likes of Point, Kucherov, Hedman, so on and so forth. And that's okay for me. Looking at where this team is going forward, like, this team is going to be another year older. I think that this team is top heavy. It showed in the regular season, and it manifested in round one. And we can look at the regular season stats, okay? The top 6 point getters were five of the top six forwards and the top D-man and Darren Radish, naturally, okay? After that, the next highest point getter was Corey Perry with 37 points. He had 37 points. He had 9 points in 22 games with Tampa in the regular season. So he had 28 points for joining Tampa. Gage Gonsalves was the next highest point getter with 33 points. I get everybody has a role, right? And we're going to kind of touch on where I'm getting at, the symmetry between the lack of depth that we saw in the playoffs and why that was a little bit concerning and what they can do to kind of rectify that, the hole in the top six and how that trickles down. Look, like I said, like, going back to the power play, you know, Bjorkstrand, second on the team in power play goals with 9. He didn't even have a consistent role on the power play for a lot of the latter half of the season, right? Radish led the team with 10 power play goals, right? When you go 17th on the power play and you dropped from 5th, and Kucherov called it out in training camp, you know, like, we're not really seeing anything change with that. That's, to me, that's a concern. You got all this talent. You've got an MVP. You've got an MVP caliber player on the power play. And somehow it's worse off because you're missing one player. And we're going to kind of get into this idea of one player having the ability to undo the Tampa Bay Lightning in many facets, right? The power play, the line, the how the lines are constructed, and all of that. Now we're also going to start to bleed into a little bit of like the negatives and like going into round one and some of the positives, obviously. So looking at it, I thought in the playoffs, our penalty kill was actually very good, right? Despite giving up the three power play goals in game one, I thought Tampa defended really well. I thought, and this is every single game was a one goal game, guys, right? So, like from that standpoint, I said it, the series was on a knife's edge. And we can look at what I said prior to the season, like let's ref or, I'm sorry, prior to the series, like let's reflect, right? So some of the strengths and weaknesses, like Tampa's strengths, I thought was their goaltending. I thought Vasi played well. I'm ignoring the save percentage because of the fact that it doesn't really tell the whole story. Because I mean, shit, like game seven, he has nine shots. He sees like he some games he was not seeing a lot of volume. The depth beyond the first line, I had that as a strength. That was actually a weakness, and we're gonna get into that because that's a negative. The defending for Tampa, I thought was excellent. The PK, right? Outside of game one, they gave up three goals. For the rest of the series, they gave up two power play goals. An X factor. I had Kucherov as an X factor in the series. You know, he had 6 points in seven games. I don't think he was an X factor as much as we would have liked him to have been. We're going to get into that. The Bolts power play, I mean, they score five power play goals. I believe they had 24 opportunities. I thought they were too hit or miss in the series. To be quite honest with you, like I think they let the team down in big moments throughout the series, opportunities for them to maybe take control of games, and they didn't. You know, looking at Montreal, I thought coming in, right, their strength was their first line. Their first line had, I don't think their first line had any one. 5-on-5 goal. One 5-on-5 goal. That was in game seven. Right? They were fast. Absolutely. They were fast. I thought they were faster than Tampa throughout the series, without a doubt. Their strength, best shot blocking team, they absolutely lived up to that. And listen to the weaknesses that I had for them coming in that I thought were perceived weaknesses. Depth beyond the first line. Giant egg on my face. Young goaltending. Noah Dobson out. Right? X factors for Montreal in the series. Scoring beyond the first line. Absolutely. A big X factor for them. They got that. Youthful and resilient. Absolutely. They proved that. And Dobesh was excellent in the series. Their X factors hit. And it's crazy. Like, looking back at it, every single strength, everything that I thought was a perceived strength and or weakness, like some of them, like the weaknesses, ended up being strengths for Montreal. They actually favored more so when you look at it. Montreal was actually a stronger team overall, at least from what I had written down, looking back at it, than Tampa. And they won the series. Like they played better. And I will say this about the series. Okay. Look, the series wasn't lost in game seven. You look at it, they lose game one on a power play goal because Jake Guentzel high sticks a Montreal Canadian with 20, 21 seconds left in the third period, needlessly. Right? They get a goal early into OT. Right? Vasi's off his line. He obviously wants that one back. They called timeout in overtime to get Slafkovský over to that left side. And it wasn't a look that we had seen from him. Obviously, St. Louis saw something. They call the timeout. They win the faceoff. Boom, in the back of the net, Vasi off his line, right? They lose game three in Montreal on failed clearing attempts by Lilleberg and Carlyle, right? They get hemmed in. They try to go D to D. Puck gets stuck in the corner. I believe Carlyle can't get it out. The puck ends up on a Montreal player's stick, back to Lane Hutson at the point. Lane Hutson seeing eye shot. Game five. Tampa has the opportunity to take advantage, right? Tampa has the opportunity to take advantage in the series. And they don't. Looking at it from game five to game seven, remember those top 6 point getters that I mentioned, right? From game five to game seven, Tampa got 1 point from the likes of Kucherov, Hagel, Gensel, Point, Radish, Cirelli. From those six guys who were the guys with 50 plus points from the Lightning in the regular season, in the latter half of that series, Tampa got 1 point from those guys. And that was a secondary assist from Brandon Hagel in game six to Gage Gonsalves, who then found Dominic James net front for the win. One point. Oh, I'm sorry, 2 points. Because we got a goal from Jake Gensel in game five. So 2 points. I mean, you look at how the series took shape. Look, they scored the first goal once in round one, and that was in game two. I'm not considering game six because that was an overtime goal. The first person to score goal one, right? It was 0-0. So heading into OT. So for a majority of the series, it felt like Tampa was chasing. You just in the playoffs, you just can't have it happen, right? You look at, remember, I said that a perceived weakness for me was depth scoring for Montreal. Montreal had 21 depth forward points compared to Tampa's seven in this series. So the likes of Texier, Anderson, Doc, and the likes of those guys, Deneau, whoever the depth forwards were from Montreal, absolutely dominated this series. Tampa got nothing in that regard. In this series, Darren Radish, 2 points. Anthony Cirelli, 2 points. Braden Point, 1 point. I mean, that's not getting it done. Right. But here's the positive. I'm going to hold off because I'm being negative Nelly here, right? Like the positive in the series, right? Like Anthony Cirelli and the likes of that group, like they defended incredibly well, especially against Suzuki. Face-offs. Just another negative, right? So in the season, the Lightning were 28 in face-off percentage, 47.4%. They were 15th out of 16 teams in the playoffs, 44.4%. I mean, Montreal had no problem icing the puck because they knew they could win, like Tampa was having a hard time winning face-offs. And people make a big deal about, oh, you don't need a face-off guy. Look, you do need a face-off guy when it's becoming detrimental to the point where you have offensive zone face-offs, you lose it, and you're losing an opportunity to possess the puck in the offensive zone. That's when it's becoming detrimental. And I don't think it's ever been more noticeable than in this first round series when there was stretches of games. I'm sorry, stretches within games where Montreal was absolutely owning Tampa in the face-off circle. Especially on offensive zone faceoffs for Tampa and on the power play as well. I thought Tampa did not play a direct game. I thought Montreal played with more fire to get things to the net, right? And Julien Brisebois in his exit press conference, right, in Montreal had 5 goals on shots through traffic, right? So tips, screens, just putting the puck on net in general. 5 shots on goal from that, right? Tampa had three. They had timely goals, right? So I believe he characterized that as goals after like the next shift. So if Tampa scores a goal, the next shift they give up a goal, or like the first minute or the last minute of the period or last 4 minutes of the period. I don't remember how he categorized it specifically, but in terms of timely goals, what Tampa categorizes them as, Montreal had seven, Tampa had three. I have been consistent in saying this. Sure, did Tampa deserve to win game seven? Yes. I don't think they deserve to win the series, if I'm just going to be honest with you. Just look back at the series. Montreal played better throughout the series. They played more consistent throughout the series. I actually thought that they looked like the more experienced and the more mature team throughout the series. I thought Tampa was second best in a lot of puck battles. I thought they were second best just in terms of pace of the game, in decision making, in clutch performances, and the ability to play more directly in terms of just getting shots to the net rather than looking for the perfect shot. I thought that Tampa only played well in spurts, in moments throughout the series. They didn't play well enough consistently to win the series. And I know that people say, well, it went to game seven. Look, yes, the series was close in that regard. But if you look at it game by game, right, there are really only a few instances within this series where you can say, yeah, Tampa really took it to Montreal, right? Number one, game two in the latter half of the third period. Yeah, they took it to them. They ended up getting the goal. Kucherov gets a goal off the wraparound because Hagel steals the puck off the wall. Or not off the wall, but Slafkovský sends a pizza up the middle of the ice and Hagel intercepts it inside the blue line. And then he puts a shot on net. Kucherov follows it and gets the wraparound on Dobesh, right? And then they carry that throughout into OT. They get the winner, right? Game four in the third period, right? They absolutely own that third period. OT in game six, you got the feeling that Tampa was the better team. They were obviously playing with a level of desperation. And then in game seven, the entirety of game seven, yeah, but look, this idea that Tampa didn't get the breaks or the hockey gods or whatever. You know, look, you in hockey, you earn your breaks, okay? And Montreal earned those breaks from games one through six, in the manner in which they played. Being willing to go to the hard areas, being willing to block shots, being willing to understand that not everything is going to be a finesse, pretty play. It's just about putting the puck on the net, right? Look at the two goals in game seven. Absolute jokes, right? Like, you couldn't script that. A double doink off Suzuki, then off Mosier into the net for the first goal, and then a puck that goes behind Vasilevskiy bounces out in front, and Newhook bats it off backhand just under Vasi's arm, short side. How about in game five, where w 1 minute into the third period, a poor line change, and you know, an absolute bomb of a shot. Bats can't handle it. Hits off his wrist and into the net. If you're asking of a game in which the Lightning lost the series, it wasn't game seven. They lost it in game five. And Brandon Hagel said so as much. In game five, our best players weren't our best players. And look, I agree with him. And we're going to get to this right now. Tampa's best players were not their best players when it mattered most. Here's the thing. And I'm seeing a lot of this, all right? So here comes the ranting part, right? I gave you some reasoning, and we may come back to some reasoning later on, but here's the ranting part. Okay, I see a lot of people giving like Kucherov a pass, like, oh, he's got 23 points in his last 23 games in the last four playoffs. Okay, I got a damning stat for you. In his last seven elimination scenario games. Okay, so going back to the Toronto series, right? So when they could have lost in game six or game seven, and the following year when Tampa faced the Panthers for the first time, I believe that was what, 23, 24, when they could have lost in game four, or and then ended up being game five, you know, then the following year, game five, and then this year in game six and game seven. Kucherov has 4 points in his last seven elimination game scenarios. Kucherov has played seven game sevens in his career, has 0 points. Okay, if you want to go back a little bit further, you want to go back to the last Stanley Cup final for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Kucherov has only one more point in nine elimination scenarios. So he's got 5 points. So going back to the Colorado Avalanche Stanley Cup final, Kucherov has 5 points in nine elimination game scenarios. Look, I'm over. I'm so over this talk about, oh, Kucherov is not the issue. Listen, why does Kucherov get a pass? I don't get it. Why does he get a pass? 3 years of being a Hart finalist but not delivering in the playoffs when it matters. Okay, like I don't care about the points per game over the last 4 years. Show me stats in elimination scenarios. I care about the clutch factor. I want our best players to deliver when the chips are on the table. He no-showed in game six and game seven. Like, sure, he got a lot of shots, but we need results. We need production. Listen, if I can't depend as a fan, or if we can't depend on our MVP caliber right winger, one of the best players in the world, to duplicate what he does in the regular season into the first round of the playoffs, then who can we depend on? Why are we depending on a rookie in Dominic James and a second-year regular in Gage Gonsalves to lead the charge in games six and seven? Why is a guy in Oliver Bjorkstrand one of the better players for this team in games five through seven? I watched Nikita Kucherov's exit interview, and there are no questions about, hey, Cooch, Nikita, you haven't delivered the last 4 years in the playoffs in elimination scenarios. Why are you not able to adjust your game to the way teams are playing you in the playoffs? Because here it is, teams in the regular season, like teams are so, like they're not hyper-focused. They don't know what game it is. Like they're just going game to game to game. Like the bleeds into each other. You get into the dog days of the season, you don't know what game it is. Like you're just fighting to get through it, right? In the playoffs, when teams are hyper-focused on you, and you know it, teams are seemingly just minimize Kucherov's impact. Don't let Kucherov beat us. Make somebody else beat us. And nobody else has been able to do it. Like Brandon Hagel was for a stretch. Jake Guentzel was chipping in his part. But really, teams are like, just minimize Cooch, make somebody else beat us. And it's worked the last 4 years. It's worked. Listen, the last 4 years for Nikita Kucherov, he's got 508 points in 317 regular season games. That averages out to like 1.6025 points a game, right? This past year, he had 40 multi-point games out of 76. Nikita Kucherov wakes up and shits multi-point games on a regular basis in the regular season. But I, as a fan, in some of my interactions, I'm being told that, oh, well, you got to take it easy on Cooch. We're witnessing greatness. Miss me with that bullshit. Seriously. I am waiting for him to show up. Teams have keyed in on him. He hasn't adjusted. No questions about how he would adjust, why he can't adjust, what the difference is. Nothing. Like, I don't understand why he gets a pass from some of the fan base. Right? Like, I watched Jay Rutschers, end of the season Tampa Bay Lightning podcast, and that was great. And he said it best, and I fully agree. Nikita Kucherov has it easy here for Tampa. He's got it easy in Tampa. There's no hard questions. He doesn't have to always address the media. No one's asking him pressing questions. Like the Tampa Bay Lightning have done an excellent job of kind of shielding him away from the media. He doesn't have to do any. And look, like that's unique about Tampa. I enjoy that, right? Like our guys are not always under the fire. That's fine. But it's getting a little old. This is our MVP caliber player. He's one of the greatest players who will probably ever play the game. He's going to go down as one of the greatest Russians. He's 16th all time in playoff points. Meanwhile, he's not performing when it matters, when we need him to. Now, I'm not going to go to the length of I saw something that called him a playoff choker. No, like that's ridiculous. He is not that. But it is also true that when we've needed Nikita Kucherov to deliver in the playoffs the last couple of years, he hasn't done so. Right? The last time he got points in an elimination game scenario was 23-24 against the Florida Panthers. He had three, I believe he had 3 points in game four when the Lightning won 6-3, and then he had a point in game five when the Lightning ultimately got eliminated by the Panthers. Like, those were his last points in elimination game scenarios. So you got to go back 3 playoffs ago. That's not, I'm sorry, that's not cutting it. That's not getting it done. It just isn't. And we can go back to this. Sure, Tampa deserved to win, but they didn't. And I've been consistent in saying this, that the playoffs are about results. We don't care how Tampa gets them. It's getting old quick. We're going to get into some of the comments here by some of our guys, but here's the thing is, and maybe this is controversial to some. The Lightning have been successful for so long in this league, and they constantly, have great regular season outputs. And I'm not saying that the Lightning have to win the Stanley Cup every year. But look, after four first round exits, and your top guys really not delivering when it matters. The culture is good, but even the best cultures in business, in sports, in relationships, in personal lives, even those things have elements of complacency. I'm not saying that the Lightning are complete, but I'm not surprised that in the last 4 years, right, Kucherov hasn't adjusted how he's played in the playoffs. I'm not surprised that the power play still looks the exact same. There appears to be no adjustments to it. Right? Still relying on the laurels when Steven Stamkos was at the left circle and we had a bomb of a shot. Right? This idea that experience will carry you when it matters most, those are elements of complacency. And here's the thing about it. Miss me with this. We should be thankful for what we've seen over the era of a dominance bullshit. I had an interaction and I was talking with a fan privately, and they were talking about how we should be thankful. For what? Be thankful for what? what the hell does what happened between 2014 and winning the cups in the early portion of the golden era, what the hell does that have to do with four first round exits? Like, what do I have to be thankful for? You know what fans do that? You know what kind of fans do that? Fans of franchises who cling to what was because they have nothing current to be excited for. Toronto, always clinging on to a past history, similar to Montreal before this year. I want to see winning when it matters. Having all-time great players and not getting out of the first round 4 years in a row is not acceptable. You can't tell me this team has a Jack Adams finalist head coach in John Cooper, an MVP finalist in Nikita Kucherov, a Selke finalist in Anthony Cirelli, and a Vezina finalist in Andrei Vasilevskiy. And you have those guys, and you can't get out of the first round. I'm not taking anything away from Montreal. I'm just saying, based on fact, right? You have the upper echelons of players. Some of those players, the elite players in the league, are on your team. Collectively, they play roles, and they are struggling to get out of the first round. Yes, it is a team game. Yes, you do need depth, all of those things, but when it matters, you want your best players to deliver. It's not happening. This idea, listen, constantly referring to the past or how good we have had it as fans or how we have it or have had it is an indicator that the time for the Tampa Bay Lightning may be coming to an end sooner than we all want. Listen, I don't care about what we've been able to see or experience. Okay, greatness doesn't have a limit. So why not expect to be greedy while we have greatness in our hands with the likes of Kucherov, Vasilevskiy, John Cooper, right? Like Braden Point, Victor Hedman, Ryan Graham, like all those guys. I have no interest in what other teams would be dying to see, what they would be dying to experience, right? It only makes me more bothered that Tampa doesn't have more cups. Like, we can reflect on the greatness of this group and what they've meant to Tampa Bay Lightning hockey and for this fan base and for this city. We can reflect on that when these players, when Coop, when JBB are gone and statues are being erected and jerseys are being hung, you know. But for now, they're not meeting their own standard that they've built. Look, we can go back, okay? The last 4 years. The only year that I'm willing to give Tampa a pass on is the year that they lost to Toronto, right? They lost three overtime games. Toronto was due for a first round series win. They were. They got bounces. It happens. Okay. Another knife's edge series. You lose three OT games. It is what is. The next year against Florida, they say Florida was a team of destiny. Tampa got absolutely destroyed in that first go around with Florida when Tampa won their or when Florida won their first cup. I mean, they lost the first three games, they win game four. Lose game five. The next year, the second time in, what was it? 24, 25. Okay. Series wasn't that bad. They still lost in five. Julian Brisebois comes out and says, "Oh, we had a great regular season," which they did, right? They were top two in goals for, goals against, and they were like top five or six in special teams on both ends, power play, penalty kill. And he comes out and says, "We had a great regular season, but we just had a bad week in April." That was the third time they'd lost in the first round. And now we get to this year. And what is it this year? right? Julian Brisebois, and I appreciate how measured he is. I appreciate how calm he is, and you know, they did ask him some tough questions, right? And I do appreciate how candid he is. I appreciate how calculated he is in everything he does for the Tampa Bay Lightning, including in his interviews, right? But the same rhetoric that we're getting about, well, if we would have got two bounces here, or we would have got bounces there, or if we would have been healthy here, or when he's kind of cherry picking stats based on, you know, like, oh, well, Braden Point had 35 points in 30 games, and that he'd be on pace for 96 points cut through a stretch of a season, and you're trying to equate that, you know, when you're doing that, when you're having to cherry pick certain things, and I get it to quantify your process to kind of explain it, but you're still not getting the desired result in the playoffs, something probably has to change. In pro sports, trying to quantify results based on bounces, or you didn't have so and so in the lineup, or whatever, it only gets you so far. Okay, this idea that we need to be proud of this team and be so thankful for what we've seen is a fucking joke. It's a joke. This isn't a team who is young and coming off a rebuild, just making the playoffs for the very first time. Those replies, that rhetoric, that dialogue, that would be okay for a team the likes of Ottawa, Buffalo, Montreal. That would be okay for them if they had a first round exit. It would be expected. There are eight players on this team for the Tampa Bay Lightning who have won a Stanley Cup, and I believe it's seven who have won a cup with the Lightning. Actually, and you probably have to fact check me on that because I'm just not going to do it right now. At the time of it, I believe it was seven players with the Tampa Bay Lightning on the current roster have won a cup, and eight with Jake Guentzel, who has won a cup with Pittsburgh, multiple with Pittsburgh. So this idea of being proud of how hard they play and all this stuff, man, listen, I don't I miss me with that stuff. I don't want to hear it anymore. Right? Because just like anything else, when you start resting on laurels and you have to keep going back to, well, they did it this, look at when they did this, and look at when they did that. That's awesome. Like, what's the identity moving forward? Look, what are we trying to build? Right? Because, look, in the early stages of the golden era, the identity of the Lightning was all finesse, skill, flash, and dash. Awesome. Really fun to watch. Then they got their ass kicked in 2019. Then they had to change their identity, and it became more grittier. It became forechecking the hell out of teams. It became in the third period, if the Lightning had a lead, they were shutting it down. You weren't, like, good luck. It was Fort Knox. You weren't scoring a goal. And now, in the current iterations of the Tampa Bay Lightning, I don't know what their identity is. They don't forecheck like hell with any type of consistency, right? There's no finesse, flash, and dash with any type of consistency, right? They don't shut down opponents in the third periods like they used to. They don't lock down games with any type of consistency like they used to. So what is the identity? Outside of the WWE stuff that Brandon Hagel was talking about, where this team wasn't going to get pushed around, and like, yeah, I guess that's a part of the new look Tampa Bay Lightning. But that doesn't really win you games, right? That doesn't score goals. That doesn't keep goals out of the net. So what is the new identity? Because all I keep hearing about is what they've done and their experience. Guys, listen to me. The experience doesn't score goals in the current. It doesn't. The identities of the past iterations of the Lightning don't score goals and stop goals in this current iteration. So stop trying to reflect and talk about and try to be the right guy, the all shucks fan, right? Some of I've interacted with who they're like, oh shucks, it's okay. The boys did great. Fuck that. Listen, and I'm gonna say this. As a fan, as a full season ticket holder, and as a fan, like I said, invested like many of you are, we are at a point now with our franchise where the regular season, it seems like a drag. Remember when we used to enjoy it as fans? I'm speaking generally, I'm broad stroking here, right? Like, so obviously some of you don't fit into that realm. I'm just saying for me, and I'm speaking for all, okay? I used to be able to enjoy the regular season, the journey, and it was a lot of fun, right? When the Lightning were coming up. But now the Lightning are what they are. They are a standard of hockey. They are a standard of a style in the NHL. They are a brand. Maybe not a fully recognizable big-time brand like Montreal, Toronto, New York, like any original 16 or traditional hockey market. But they are a recognizable brand. They have earned that. They've earned the respect of the hockey world. So when this idea that we can't, like any type of criticism of the team when they're failing and they're not, I'm only judging this team based on the standard that they have built for themselves. I'm not criticizing this team on some far-fetched idea of what they could be. They are this, right? Like, this is what they've built. They are a consistent, high-performing, elite hockey team in the NHL that is not meeting their own standard when it comes to playoff performances. Their players, their coaching staff, general manager, whatever, they're not meeting it. You can look at all the metrics up and down. Like, you got better 5-on-5 play, you did all that stuff. Awesome. Love it. The result is still the same. So we can keep hanging on to this idea about the process over the outcome. And yes, I love that. That's very good. But at some point, when the rubber meets the road and the playoffs are about results, do you think the Montreal Canadiens give any shred of a shit about the process of Game 7? Like, this idea that people keep telling me, oh, the Lightning would have won that thing 9 out of 10 times if they play it, but the one time that they did, they didn't win it. It happened. It's a reality, right? They gave up 9 shots, they lost the game, so they didn't get it done. Don't tell me about, oh, well, you know, play that game 10 times, they'll win 9. I don't care. It's not getting played 9 times. That's a false reality. The reality is that once again, for the 4th straight year, the Tampa Bay Lightning have lost in the first round. And here's this thing that I'm not sure some of our fan base understand. You keep going back to this complacency, relying on the laurels of the experience. This division, the Atlantic division, is getting better. Buffalo, 109 points. Montreal, 106 points. The youngest team in the league, by the way, I believe. The second youngest outside of Chicago. Ottawa, a young team, all in our division. You think Florida's going to be down next year? The only who may be down in the division, maybe 2 teams. I'll say Toronto. I don't know where they're going to go. And Detroit keeps having the bottom fall out for them. So who knows? I am fully expecting next year to be just as tough for the Tampa Bay Lightning to make the playoffs. They're another year older, right? This team is another year older. The division is getting better. Brandon Hagel said it best in his exit interview. The teams that we were talking about coming up, well, they're here now. And he is completely right. They are here. So this idea of being able to rely on what's been done in the past to progress us for the future, you can't use it anymore. Because the result is still the same. And Brandon Hagel said, his interview was probably the best one outside of Vassy's. Uvassi said, listen, our best players have to perform when it matters. That everybody has a job to do and not everybody is doing their job. And I'm paraphrasing, of course, but the underlying tones of that was it. And he wasn't calling anybody out specifically, but he is completely correct. Vassy said he's got to make saves when he has to. The offense has to score when they have to. We have to block shots defensively, clear the puck out, do all those things. That's all very correct. It has nothing to do with this element of bounces or hockey gods. I am fully aware that there's a lot of luck in things that you can't prepare for in hockey. I am also a big proponent of, like I said earlier, you make your own breaks in hockey. Like if the idea of playing the right way and constantly pushing the envelope and playing direct and not trying to play finesse and cute and making sure that everything looks pretty, right? You just play gritty and north, just going north hockey. That earns you things like you see in game seven. Because here's the thing, if Tampa would have showed up in game five, obviously they don't. They're not facing back-to-back elimination scenarios in game six and game seven. Obviously, Montreal is facing that as well, but they're only facing one, a one-winner game take-all. So Montreal has two opportunities to fuck it up, whereas Tampa has one. They obviously win the game in game six, but guess what? You play the game of your life in game seven with an absolute level of desperation that you probably should have started the series with, but you didn't. You saved it. And then guess what happens? When you need it, you don't get the bounces. Tampa didn't play with that level of desperation throughout the series. They played with it in moments, like I said. Montreal played consistent. They played with a consistent level of desperation throughout the series, and they earned the breaks for game seven. And they got them. So stop. Like, I'm tired of seeing this idea about, oh, well, the Tampa Bay, they're close. What? How are they close? They're getting further away from the cup winning years. It's four straight playoff exits, right? 5 years from when they won their last cup. I wish people would stop talking about it as if it has any type of relevancy on what's going to happen next year. It's over with. They won their last cup 5 years ago. Stop trying to use it to equate some type of it's progress. It's not progress. The Lightning aren't actually progressing. The Lightning have always been a good regular season team. They're far too talented not to be. I'm watching, and it's Tuesday night. I just watched Jakub Dobesh give up a fluke goal from just Tage Thompson shooting the puck in and it goes off Dobesh. Yeah, Tampa sure didn't get those bounces in the series. Yeah, whatever, right? But I also just watched in game one, right, from what I can glean, I saw highlights, I didn't watch the game. He gave up four goals on nine shots. How did he do that? Oh, Buffalo was pretty direct. They were getting bodies in front of the net. They were willing to do a lot of the things that Tampa just isn't willing to do. Yeah, sure, Tampa was later in the series trying to block them and do all those things. But at that point, like, just not happening. So I don't think all hope is lost. This team is still very good. Obviously, as you can tell by my tone, I'm still very bitter about this loss because I understand what's coming down the pipe. This division is getting better and our team is getting older. And yes, we do have the likes of Gonsalves, Geeky, so on and so forth. But none of them are like the elite group of guys that we currently have. Like Victor Hedman, right? Who's going to be 36 next year. Like Nikita Kucherov, who's going to be 33. Braden Point is going to be, what, 31? 30, 31? Cirelli's about to touch his 30s. Those guys who are the elite guys in our franchise, who are going to all have their jerseys up in the rafters, they're getting older. Like we got to stop talking about, it's not over, right? Like our golden era is not over. The window isn't closed, I don't think. But it's just getting, the window pane on it is just kind of, you know, sliding down. Like it's getting there, like it's almost closed. It's going to close eventually. I'm getting tired of it. Every year we keep trying to, we see it, right, in certain, some interactions about, well, let's reflect on what we've what we should be thankful for. Man, it's not Thanksgiving. I don't want to be thankful. I just want to see this team win when it matters again. That's all. Right? And obviously this has nothing to do with it. Shit, the playoffs were more expensive. For a full season ticket member, the playoffs were more expensive than the regular season, naturally, right? Well, shit, they're 2-10 in the last 4 years at home in the playoffs. You're not even winning playoff games. So if you want to know why teams are probably running us home fans out of the rink, people are probably selling their tickets because they're not sure if the Lightning are going to win the game at home. They won one game at home. That's tough. You know, I don't know. It's getting old, right, to see our team lose in the first round for the fourth year in a row. It's because you know how talented they are. I don't know. I'm not saying that there needs to be a ground-shaking change. It wouldn't, if not listen, it might not hurt. Like be objective about it here. A ground-shaking change to, like, shake things up and kind of wake up the room a little bit and be like, hey, it's, like, I don't know what that is, right? I don't know what that is. So don't come at me and say, oh, what do you suggest? I don't know. I'm just saying, it might not be a bad thing, right? It might not be a bad thing. I don't know what that change is. But I'm saying, like, what happens if a Brayden Point got moved out? You know, what happens if that happens? You know, Julian Breezeball sends a message to the team, hey, you lose four years in a row, it's not acceptable, right? You got to start producing or we're shipping out. Like, I don't think it'd be bad to have a little bit of Vegas-like ruthlessness. That's not a bad thing either. The other bad thing is a little bit of toxicity from the fan base, a little external pressure is also not bad, right? I'm not saying, like, you got to be, like, sending death threats, right? Like they were doing to Kirby Doc. But I am saying, you know, sometimes a little external pressure is good. Like, sometimes the hard-hitting questions from media is good. You know, like, that stuff is, it just makes those players aware that, hey, I've got to perform because they're going to be talking about it. Yes, everybody's eyes are on you, but here in Tampa, like, our athletes have it really easy. Our pro athletes have it cake here, man. They don't really get asked hard questions. Like, it's, yeah, they can kind of live under the radar, and that's fine. I love it. That's what's unique about our market in all sports. But what I'm saying is, if you want, in terms of hockey, you got to stop. We got to stop with this all shucks. Oh, it's okay, boys. We'll get them next year. You can't do that because some of those people are the same people who are getting upset when we're not being taken seriously as a hockey market. When you're getting, you know, because it makes it look like there's no pressure here to succeed. It just looks like the success will come and it'll go. And if it happens, it's great. And if it doesn't, oh well, you know, like, you have to have a little bit of competitive spirit as a fan, I would hope, right? If you're a casual fan, that's fine, you know? But if you're listening as a casual fan, like, that's awesome. I appreciate it. What I am hoping is that I'm reaching a section of fans who just live and breathe Lightning hockey, and they, for whatever reason, in their deranged mind, similar to mine, they feel like they can kind of affect what happens when they attend games. Like, they believe they make a difference, even though we actually know we don't, right? Like, but you are just that passionate fan, and you want to, like, create the rhetoric and the dialogue and communicate and grow our fan base like that. Like, that's what I'm after. I don't have a problem with the all shucks groups, the all shucks individuals. I don't, right? Like, that's okay. If you feel that way, that's fine. And I'm no better. Like you're no better, and I'm no better. And I'm not saying that you're a pansy for that or whatever. Like, it is what it is, because some of you are probably listening. Some of you are probably the all shucks people, and they're going to be, wow, this guy's an asshole. No, I'm just saying, like, at some point, what we're experiencing as fans for the Tampa Bay Lightning, like, it's going to end. We're going to go through a significant rebuild, and it's going to hurt. It's going to suck, right? Like, the downfall will come eventually. But for the time being, anything less of what this team is capable of, and I'm not talking about winning a Stanley Cup. I'm not talking about going to the Eastern Conference. I'm talking about win some home playoff games first, win multiple at home, and then win a first round. Like, that's the expectation. That's where we're at. And then let's see where it goes. Like, it sucks as a fan, at least in my perspective, when you go through the slog of an 82-game season and you have training camp on top of that, and you're getting really excited, but you get into the back half of the season and you're worried, like I have been, like I was prior to the playoffs, worrying about if the Lightning were going to be able to flip a switch, because the last 4 years in mid-April, it hasn't been good. That sucks. And so, look, I don't think the Lightning should blow it up. I don't. I would welcome I would welcome some locker room shakeup, whether it be amongst the coaching staff or the playing group. I wouldn't mind it, right? I would just want to see some hunger, right? Like, Brandon Hagel and Jake Guentzel are certainly hungry, no doubt. But, like, look, like, I'm sorry, Braden Point can't have another year like he has next year, like he had this year. He can't have that next year. You're getting paid big bucks, baby. When you come out and say something like, "Oh, well, I wasn't facing any injuries, so you were just ass." I hate to be so blunt about it, but it's like, you just were not good this season. Like, you can't have that, because you. And I get it, careers have ebbs and flows, right? But you're just like, that's what I'm talking about. There was nothing that you could try to fix as you were, like, there was nothing you thought you could try to work as it was going on. You're just going to keep trying to jam a square peg into a round hole, which Julian Breezeball may or may not do again. Like, he may triple down on this team. He doubled down on last year coming into this year, and it worked for him. The metrics for the regular season were very good, but in terms of the results in the playoffs, it didn't translate. That's a big negative. Sorry, this team is going to be judged on their success in the playoffs, because they're not just some franchise who's going to be judged on regular season success. We will reach a point again where we can rebuild the standard, and then we will be judged on the regular season success and the type of progress young guys are making and the strides that they're making towards becoming that elite hockey franchise again in terms of continuously contending for a Stanley Cup. They are that. Because the window's still open. But one day it'll close. So I don't know. I would really like this team to win a series and play the way that we know they can. Because right now, anytime you watch the Lightning, you don't know what version of the Lightning you're going to get. I was talking to a buddy of mine, and I was on the phone with him, and I said, "Look, man, you watch the Lightning, you don't know if you're getting a group that's coming out. They're going to be firing on all cylinders from opening puck drop. You don't know if they're going to kind of sleepwalk through the first period. You don't know if they're going to have an amazing comeback in the third period. You don't know if, like, if they're going to put a crazy amount of shots and they're going to be invested, or they're going to look like a group that's not invested. They're going to forecheck. They're not going to forecheck. They're going to defend like crazy. They're not." Like, you just don't know what you're going to get. Like I mentioned earlier, throughout the portions of this era, of this golden era of Tampa Bay Lightning, the first half was flash and dash, all finesse and skill. Right, they were winning the cups. It was grit and locking it down, forechecking like hell. And right now, I don't know where this group is. Like, I don't know what the identity is outside that WWE shit that I'm just not really a fan of. But they love it because they get dialed in and they play with emotion. Like, I appreciate JBB's measured approach, his calculated approach. Listening to his exit interview, he understands. He didn't really make the excuses again. I don't want to call them excuses, but he didn't give the reasoning outside of early on where he's talking about bounces. That was annoying. Right, but he acknowledged that it has to start translating. Right, Coop's comments about the hockey gods. Coop, love you. You just gotta win, brother. Like, you know that. Everybody knows that. And he knows that. He wins more games. He's won more games in the NHL that, I could ever dream about. Right, Vasi's comments about our guys gotta start performing. He was pissed because he actually played well this series. Right, Braden Point, the no injury thing, like he's got to have a bounce back year. It's inexcusable. You can't have another year like it. Right, Hagel, he is certainly captain material for the future. Right, you can tell he has a burning desire. It bothers him. He said it. We're standing here for the same time 4 years in a row. We're not getting it done. Our best players have to be our best players, and he takes personal accountability all the time and says it starts with me. Unfortunately, he's saying that to be, I don't know if he's saying that to be kind or just to be cliche. He doesn't want to call anybody out specifically, but he certainly wasn't an issue in the first round, right? Cooch is Cooch with the I don't know. It is what he just kind of gives. He gives answers like he can't speak English. Like he's just learning the English language. Like he's just being comfortable with interviews. Nobody is asking him the hard questions like, hey, what do you got to do to adjust your game to be better when it matters? Why can't you get your game to translate? What are you going to do to start getting your game to translate? How do you adjust your game? Hedman's comments, look, he's feeling better. Whatever it was, we don't know. It's none of our business. Maybe it had something to do with all the injuries and him not being able to perform the way that he wanted, and the high standard that he puts himself, the pressure that he puts on himself to perform. And he remember, like, these guys are being compared against other NHLers, right? Like, I feel for the guy, right? I also understand the other side of it. Like, some fans are upset. They're like, look, man, you got all that money in the bank and gas is 460. I've got to make decisions to put gas or feed my kids. I get that. I understand both sides. I'm playing devil's advocate here. I don't think how much you make should determine how somebody is able to cope with certain things. It is what it is. It's life. Victor Hedman is a man who plays hockey. Okay, like, you gotta remember that. He's a human being first. So I understand that. Right, like, but I also understand the fans that are like saying, look, man, you just gotta shut up and play. I get that too. I'm not saying I agree with either side, I'm just saying, like, I understand both sides. It's not all lost, like I've said multiple times throughout this, right? Sam O'Reilly, you look at the prospect pool, Sam O'Reilly, who they think may be able to potentially help the Lightning as early as next year. Jake Brisebois even said so as much. Obviously, he's going to have to adjust to the game. Benjamin Rautiainen, who's got another, he's under contract for another year in Finland. He's playing in the finals in Liiga right now with Tapita. And look, here is one that is interesting. Look, Connor Geeky, all 6'4", 215 of them. If he played 14 games this year, he had 3 points. Is he the answer in the top six? Listen, in the AHL, he's got 28 goals, 79 points in 81 games. He's playing every situation and in the top six. He's going to have to make the jump at some point because he offers the size and the potential power forward archetype this team is desperate for. Right? They don't have a Killorn or a Palat type right now. I mean, maybe they do. It's Holmberg, but he doesn't produce points wise like they did. Maybe he would if he played in the top six, but it's not his role. It's not where he fits, right? He's a strictly defensive forward who believes that he can chip in more so offensively. And look, like, so that means, like, Connor Geeky, he might have a chance next year to get into that top six and be that guy and play with high skill. Right, hopefully his third year with the organization, he's feeling more confident. That's what you're hoping, because he's tearing it up at the AHL level with Syracuse. So hopefully, maybe after another summer, he takes that jump. And here's the thing. Here's an interesting thing. Like people saying, like I've seen people say, like he's a waste. Look, his brother didn't have a breakout year till 25. Like players develop at different rates. He's certainly not a bottom six forward. I think they've tried to fit him in that role, to see if he can handle it. He's definitely a top six guy, especially at the AHL level. What you're hoping is that it'll translate to the NHL. We're hoping that we get, like I said, we get Hedy back, right? This year, he had 12 points in 15 games to start the season. Then he got hurt, and it then kind of derailed for him personally. And in the remaining 18 games that he played, he had 5 points. That can't happen again, right? Like, you need Chernak to be healthy. You need McDonough to be healthy. Like, there are so many things, right? Like, listening to it, the one thing that kind of put me off was like JBB talking about Holmberg and how when he got hurt, it just kind of undid everything. Listen, if a guy like Pontus Holmberg and him getting hurt is undoing everything, that is a bigger issue. Right, if you don't have a power play guy on the left side and it's undoing everything, that is an issue. Like that's probably more of a systemic issue. It like I don't know what to say. Like that's probably what it is. But yeah, as we wrap it up, look, all in all, it was a successful regular season that was not translated into the playoffs. For the Lightning, I know they got it to game seven. I'm only looking at the result here. If you look at how the games were played, it's a lot more frustrating because the Lightning, I don't think, matched a lot of it. I don't think they matched the Montreal on a lot of it. So, and I'll be honest with you, doing this is quite cathartic for me because I've been wanting to do it. I mean, a lot of it is just to really recap the end of the year and kind of set us up for the summer. And I'll probably, I'll be researching. I may hop on here and there. I do have a series of episodes we'll do in the summer that are a little bit more fun. We'll talk about some draft stuff, some free agency, even though Julian Brisebois says they don't expect to be very active on July 1st. You can never trust what he says, but, we'll see. If he's always working. He says if there's opportunities for him to improve the team, he's always looking. And we'll do some other fun stuff throughout the off season to get some generate some more fan interaction and just keep Tampa Bay Lightning hockey on the mind. It's over. It's sad. It sucks. I'm still a little bit bitter about it. Maybe after this is released, I won't be as bitter about it because I've gotten everything out that I wanted to say. This has gone way longer than I wanted to. I'm almost at an hour and a half. I apologize for that. If you listen to this whole thing, kudos to you. I love you for that. Thank you for sticking along. And listen, guys, I started this thing. This thing has, like I said in my very first episode, I've gotten more comfortable behind the mic. This has been a couple years in the making. I had the concept for it. I finally decided to make a leap of faith in the middle of the season this year. And just people have started listening more and more with the episode that I've gotten more comfortable behind the mic because I'm talking about something that I love. That we all love. It's the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I don't come on here to be a jerk, right? I just want to get thoughts out, right, about the franchise, the hockey franchise that we all love to support. And if you're not a Tampa Bay Lightning fan and you're just listening to see what Tampa Bay Lightning fans have to say, just remember, I'm just one fan with one opinion, right? I don't speak for all of the Lightning fans. I don't speak for the Lightning organization. I'm just one person who's been a fan for 25 plus years, who grew up in the city, who's watched the franchise grow, who is now a season ticket holder, a full-time season ticket holder for the last almost decade, who's had his wife become a Tampa Bay Lightning fan, right? And now that we have, a child who we're trying to obviously raise to be a Lightning fan, like start generation of that stuff, like this stuff is, I love it. I love doing this. I love being able to interact with you guys. Right, I never try to get personal. I just try to say and speak on what I feel. And so, anyway, guys, I appreciate all of you who have listened from when I started this in the middle of the season. It is a labor of love for me. And I plan to continue doing it so long as I can find the time to do it, and so long as I have the energy to do it. And I'm sure all that'll always happen because my ass will still be in my seats next year. I'm not giving those bad boys up. We can't win the cup every year. It's obviously disappointing. You would love to. But you better believe, like I said, my ass is going to be in those seats. I can't wait for September. I can't wait for October when the regular season starts and we can begin again. But until then, I'll be bitter as fuck because our Tampa Bay Lightning are not in the playoffs still, are no longer in the playoffs, I should say. And I'm just not in the mood to watch hockey. So anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in. Steve V signing off. We'll talk soon. See ya.